It was in June of 1996. Can you remember that far back? June of 1996. I was 20 years old. I just turned 20. And I had met a girl that summer at a church camp that I went to in Louisiana. And she was pretty, and I was interested. And so I came back to Texas, though. And the problem was she lived over there in the Lake Charles area, which was like 5 hours away, and just was tough to stay connected. So we talked on the phone, you know, and then I found a reason to go back and see her, and then she came here. But it just was kind of strange, and she was a little quirky, and just the relationship didn't really make that turn, you know, and just kind of hung out in that weird spot. And it was during that time, on a Wednesday night, a different young lady at my church came up to me and asked me if I was dating anyone. And I said, not technically. That's what I said. And if it had been 2019, I would have said, it's complicated, right? Because that's like the buzzword now for complicated relationship. It's complicated. In fact, on Facebook, you can say you're married, divorced, single, widowed. You can also officially say my relationship status is it's complicated. And the problem I have is when I hear of people that are struggling in their relationship with God. And if they were to describe their relationship with God, they would say, it's complicated. It's complicated means it's not going the way I want it to go. It's not over, because if it was over, I would say it's over. I don't want it to be over, but it's just not going the way I want it to go. It's not going the way I think it should go. And so it's complicated, right? And it just bothers me, especially when we're talking about our relationship with God. That should be a great thing. It should be a beautiful thing, a lovely thing. It shouldn't be a complicated thing. And I think we overcomplicate it. So this month in September at Promised Land, what we're saying is it's really not that complicated. And that's just what we're calling this whole series. And we're using the book of Ephesians to tell the story and to uncomplicate our relationship with God. And so we're going to go to the first chapter of Ephesians today and just start. We're going to take a chapter a week. This is the first week that we're going to go into it. And so if you have a Bible or if you have an app or something, you can get to Ephesians. Go ahead and turn there. And we do this kind of series every year at Promised Land, where we take a book of the Bible and dig into it. And this is the disclaimer that I have to give you. Whenever we do this, this is not an exhaustive look at Ephesians, all right? There's so many nuggets in there and truths in there that we're going to take chapter one, and I'm going to give you a couple of just what I feel like are some strong messages from this chapter. But here's the challenge I have for you. Take the Bible and read it yourself. This week, take the book of Ephesians and read it and digest it and then read it again. In fact, the first chapter is short. You can read the whole chapter in 5 minutes. And so I would encourage you to read it every day. Talk about it. Pastor Will mentioned that small groups are meeting this week. This is a chance to jump into a group. Many, many of our small groups will be discussing chapter one this week. And so you can get deeper into chapter one. And if you're a Texas State Bobcat, where are the Bobcats? I got any Bobcats in here? Yeah, come on. Tomorrow night is volleyball night. If y'all want to come out to our facility right here, we have a sand volleyball pit. We're going to be hanging out Bobcat night. Hey, even if you go to another college, ACC, UT, some other university, whatever, come on out tomorrow night. They got information at the table. All right, chapter one, here's a powerful message that comes from Ephesians chapter one to uncomplicate your relationship with God. And it's this: God made the first move in your relationship. God made a move on you. Did you know that? Ephesians 1 and 4 says it like this: even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God wants it to be clear at the very beginning of this that he doesn't pursue you, he doesn't start pursuing you when you get your life together. That's not when God starts pursuing you. He doesn't start pursuing you when you lose weight. Thank God, right? He didn't start pursuing you when you looked cute in the crib when you're a little baby, cuddly, cooing and babbling and so innocent and so tender. That's not when God, it's not like God looked down and was like, oh, that's so cute. He's so cute. I think I like him. That's not what happened. God didn't even start pursuing you when you were in the womb or even when your parents started thinking about you. It wasn't a few years ago. It was before he made the world. Think about that. Before he made the world, he knew about you. He designed you. He had a purpose for you. He made you on purpose. You were not an accident. You're not a coincidence. Let me go as so far as to say, you're not even a product of your parents. They were just a vehicle for God's plan to be enacted. So your purpose and meaning goes beyond your parents' idea of whether you should have been born or not, or if you're an accident or whatever. Like, the purpose that God has for your life started before he made the world. So awesome, isn't that? Just let that sink into you for a moment. It says that he chose you. He chose you. Even before he made the world, he loved us and he chose us. I love that word because it's so powerful. It's a powerful word. To be chosen makes you feel good, doesn't it? When you've been chosen, makes you feel great. I remember as a kid, when it was time to pick teams, athletic teams, little Robin was one of the last people chosen. I was like, we're all the tall kids, the muscly kids. That's who I want. And Robin, he's kind of good, but he'll stick around a few more rounds and we can pick him up at the end. But then they would say, Robin, you want me on your team? To be chosen feels so good, doesn't it? I want you. That's why there's so many powerful videos out now about engagement parties and announcements, right? I mean, it's huge now. I mean, it's a big deal to get engaged these days. Why? Because you're being chosen. I am choosing you to be with me. But here's something that's even more powerful. God knew that you would screw up, and he still chose you. You messing up is not like, oh, man, what? God knew that was going to happen, and he still chose you. He still had a plan for you. He knew you would deny him. He knew that you would live for a while not even knowing he existed. He knew that. And he still chose you. He still loved you before you even knew him. Before he made the world, he decided to adopt you. Look what verse 5 says. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is powerful at the very beginning of this book, and it talks about God's plan for redemption before he made the world. He says he decided in advance to adopt you. This is so strong. And bring you into his family. Bring him to himself. He's bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. So this means that he already knew that you would mess up. He already knew that the world would be broken. And he already has a plan of redemption. And here's the good news of God's plan of redemption. His plan is not for you to figure out how to make it back to him. Instead, his plan is for him to get to you. His plan is Jesus Christ bringing salvation, Jesus taking the journey, paying the price, going the distance so that you could be with him forever. But look what that last sentence says in that text. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I just want that message. That's a simple message, but this simplifies our relationship with God so much, doesn't it? Because what we think, here's what complicates our relationship with God. We think he's ready to kick us, thump us, judge us, condemn us whenever we get to a possibility of having a relationship with him. And that's complicated, isn't it? Because you've lived a life this week that has some issues with it. I mean, there's some things that we've done this month, this year, this lifetime that we're not really proud of. And so it's complicated to go to God because of that weight that we carry. But I love the text. I love this word that's coming to us today. It's so powerful. It makes it simple. God loves you. He made a move for you before he created the world. He knew you would do that thing that you did, and he still came for you. He still wanted to do it. He wants you. And that's good news, because we do some things we don't even want ourselves sometimes. It's hard to forgive ourselves sometimes, but to hear such beautiful language about what God has done for us, and it gives him pleasure. Just let that simplify everything. He's ready for you. He is eager to be with you. And if you are here today and you're thinking that you just wandered in here today, let me just say, you don't just wander into a church ever, right? It's not coincidence that you're here today. You could be doing so many other wonderful things, like swimming, eating, sleeping. I'm going to probably do all of those later today, but I'm here today now. So there's so many other things you could do. Here's what's happening. God is still making a move on you, even right now. And this cost him. Look what the next little verse says there. Verse 7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He forgave our sins and he paid the price. The freedom that we so long to have was purchased. It's expensive. It's not cheap. It's very, very expensive. And Jesus gave it all. He perfectly orchestrated salvation for us before he created the world. He knew it was going to happen, and he did it anyway. If you think about us, you and I, starting anything, let's say you want to start a business, or you want to go to school, or you want to get married, or anything that we start or create, and you think through the consequences or the risk, and you think this business could fail, people could betray me, this marriage may not make it, I may run out of money or whatever. You think about all the risk, all the danger that could happen, and you still do it. Why would you do that? Because you have passion and love for whatever it is, and you're willing to take the risk to do it. That's what happened when God created the world. He loved you so much that's what he did. He made it happen. And so if you're here today and you're listening to this message and you sense something happening here, I want you to know that is the presence of God calling you. He's wooing you. He's still making a move on you. There's a scripture in the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God, that's his spirit that's in action today, still moving in the world today. It says that the Holy Spirit is drawing people to repentance. So if you feel something at Promised Land, it's like, what is it that I feel? That's the presence of the Lord drawing you to repentance. It is God's continuing to make a move on you. Sometimes we may be tempted to think that if we have a relationship with God, it's because we figured it out finally. Are we mentally ascended up to this place where God is and we figured it out, or we found God ourselves? And that's not the case. God is calling out to you. God is moving on your heart and he's making a move. And here's another thing that we find in this first chapter of Ephesians, is that God is going to make the last move. So there's a first move, there's a lot of moves in the middle, and then there's a closing move that's going to happen. A seal is going to happen on our relationship with him. That's really what we want, right? We want to be locked down. We want our relationship to not be shifty anymore or complicated at all anymore. And so Ephesians tells us that God has already figured this out. You don't have to worry about this. He's got a plan. And on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, I spoke a whole message on this end of time kind of idea of God's plan. If you missed it, hopefully we can get it for you online. You can tap into it. A whole message on this. But look what Ephesians 1 and 10 says. It says, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, this is verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we will receive an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. There it is again. He chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So powerful, isn't it? There is going to be a day when Jesus Christ makes everything right again. And this is good news, because we get lost in the world today and feel like this is just the way it's going to be. The heaviness that we experience now, this is just the way it's going to be. But this is what's so powerful about reading the Word of God. It reframes our perspective of what's happening. And Ephesians 1 and 10 and 11 shows us that God has an ultimate plan that's going to make, look what verse 10 says, everything in heaven and earth are going to come under the authority of Christ. Now, we see pieces of this already. P-I-E-C-E. We see pieces, fragments of peace. We see pieces of peace now. You know, when everything lines up, like you get the raise, she says yes, you make an A on your midterm. I mean, just all the things happen in your life, and you're just, yeah, that's so awesome. Like, yes. And I want to say that there's legitimate times, even now, where heaven and earth touch, these moments. And I don't know if you've ever been in a birth, but I've been to 6 births. I've been to my 3 kids and my sister's 3 births. And I was the videographer in my sister's birth. And I was like, But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, when that baby comes out of the womb, there's just no way to describe that. It's just a miracle. Heaven and earth are together in that moment. It's a beautiful thing. But then what happens? Just other seasons come. Ugh, hard times come, and you lose a job, and somebody betrays you, and you know, you get a diagnosis, and all these just times too. So we get a sense where things come together and then they go away. But look what the Word of God says. There's coming a day when his plan comes to culmination, and everything in heaven and earth are under the authority of Christ. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying, just let it, come on, Jesus. Can we, let's just get to that spot. Let's let it happen right now. But then there's one other word in verse 11 I want us to look at just for a second, and that's the word inheritance. I think it's a key word there. The only way you can inherit something is if someone else has earned it, acquired it, saved for it, someone else gave something to them, and they start accumulating wealth. And then before they die, they create a will and they say, I want for you, Wyatt, to inherit this $1 million, all right? And so whenever this person dies, if you're in the will, whatever they've earned, whatever they've accumulated, whatever they've acquired gets transferred to whoever is an heir. And this is what this verse is saying. It says, we have received an inheritance from God. Do you know what that is? That is the work and the salvation and the eternal life that Jesus earned while he was on this earth. While Jesus was here, he earned eternal life. He earned it. He lived 33 and a half years flawlessly and perfectly. He worked hard. He lived according to the rules. He lived according to the law. He was obedient to the Father. He did everything just right, just systematically, day in, day out, minute by minute. Jesus earned it. He deserved it. He pooled it. He saved it. He gathered it. And then he died. And this is what it's saying. Everything that Jesus earned when he died, you are an heir to that. That's what you're inheriting as a believer in Jesus. It's everything that he earned. That is salvation. That is eternal life with God forever and ever and ever and ever. And so he made that move for you. He earned all that for you. And now he's saying, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're adopted into the family. And when you get adopted into the family of God, you receive the benefits and the rights in the inheritance of the family name. Isn't that awesome? So good. It's so good. That's what he's giving to all of us who call on the name of Jesus, who say, Lord, I'm ready to make a move. You've made a move. Now I'm ready to make a move. Now, we go back to that story that I talked to you about where I was in a complicated relationship, and then another young girl came and asked me, are you dating anyone? That girl is the one that's sitting on the front row right here. And I've been married to her for 20 years. So, she made a move on me first. Yes. She said, are you dating anyone? I said, it's complicated. It's not technical. I don't know. Would you like to go? She said, would you like to go out sometime? I said, with you? She said, yes. Why do we have to make it so complicated, right? And it really didn't get much more simpler after that. I have some more stories I want to tell y'all next week about how it was a little more complicated. But she made a move, and then it was up to me. I got her phone number, and I had to decide, am I going to make a move or not? Am I going to make the second move? And it took me too long. It took me a few days. But I called her, and here we are today. And God has made a move towards you and for you. And it is a move that cost him a whole lot. And now the opportunity is up to us. It's up to you. Are you ready to say yes? So I want to talk to him right now. I want to invite you to talk with me to God right now. Let's just express our thoughts and our feelings toward him, if you're ready to say yes to him, I want to give you that opportunity. Let me read you these two final verses. It says in verse 19, I will also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. When we say yes to Jesus and we make that move towards him, it's an incredible union that he will empower you with his strength, and you don't have to wait until you die to start reaping the benefits of the inheritance of Jesus. You can actually start reaping from those benefits right now. So let's pray. Would you join with me? And you can pray these words yourself. You can pray your own words if you want. But I want us all, everybody, just everybody in here, whether you're connected to God or you're not connected to God and you're ready for it, let's just start by thanking God. Lord, thank you for making a move first. Thank you for making this simple, God. Thank you that this is not as complicated as I thought. You make it clear. You love us. You paid a price for us. Thank you. Let's make it personal. Let's not just say us and them, and let's say me and I. You made a move for me, God. Thank you. Thank you for loving me when I didn't even know you. Thank you for loving me before you created the world. Thank you for choosing me. Why don't you just tell God that? Lord, thank you for choosing me. It may be hard for you to say because you don't really believe that yet, but it's true. God chose you. He loves you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for adopting me. Thank you for paying the ultimate price for me. Thank you for drawing me to repentance through the power of your Spirit. Thank you that you never quit on me, God. You keep pursuing me even to this moment. Thank you, God, for pursuing me to this moment. Let's tell him that. Maybe you're watching on the internet right now and you think you're just kind of surfing. No, you're not. God is calling you as well. Come on, speak to him wherever you're watching from, whatever situation you're in. Lord, thank you that you're speaking to me so clearly today. This is not an accident. This is not a coincidence, Lord. You are speaking clearly. Thank you, God. Now is our chance. Now is our opportunity to say yes to him. If you're ready for that, why don't you just say, Lord, I say yes to you. Lord, I want a relationship with you. Lord, I want to make a move for you right now. Please forgive me of my sin. Let's repent right now. Let's just say, Lord, we're sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done that are not right. Please forgive me of my sin. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you're the way. Please help me, God. Please heal me. Please strengthen me. Lord, I want to be with you. I want a relationship with you. Let's do this together. For those of you in here today that have lived a difficult life, a tough life, and you've done things you knew you shouldn't have done, or maybe you're just becoming aware of how broken you really are. And I'm talking to 12-year-olds and 80-year-olds and everybody in between. And you just know there's heaviness on your life. Remember what the scripture says. He knew you would be in that place and he chose you anyway. He knew you'd have walked through that and he calls you anyway. He loves you anyway. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us live in that identity that we are sons and daughters of God, that we can live in this inheritance from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen.